are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Tuesday, everybody. If I'm being honest, I have no idea how to approach today's podcast. We'll get into it here in just a second. I'm following a debacle of a game, I guess is the best way to say it, on Monday night against Sacramento. But first of all, I wanted to remind everybody you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves for all of the show news and anything else Timberwolves. So typically after a game, we'll recap things. We'll talk about the game flow, what the Timberwolves did well, what they didn't do well as a team, which is typically bad three-point shooting, defensive rebounding, and a lot of times pick-and-roll defense containing opposing scoring guards, etc. But Monday night, the Wolves did absolutely everything right for the vast majority of the first 40-plus minutes against the Kings. The Wolves led by 27 late in the third quarter. They were 20-plus for much of the first part of the fourth quarter. They were winning by 17 points with 2:49 left on the clock. They were up 14 points with 1:46 left. They were still ahead by 9 points with 39.2 seconds remaining. And even while the next 30 seconds were a disaster, the Wolves were still led by 3 with De'Aaron Fox at the line for 2 free throws with 4.7 seconds left. If you miss this game, you can probably tell by the tone of my voice and the open of the show that the Wolves somehow found a way to lose this game. Up 27 in the third quarter, 20 for most of the fourth, 17 points with 2:49 left, and 14 with 1:46 left. 9 points with 39 seconds remaining. And they lost the game. According to ESPN Stats and Info, teams were 0 and 8,378 when down 17 or more points with 3 minutes left in games dating back to the 96-97 season. So that's 23 basically years of data, almost 23 years of data. Teams were 0 and 8,378 in this situation, and the Wolves lost. Sure, Ryan Saunders, he subbed out most of his starters when they were up 14 with 1:46 left. Cade Bates-Diop made a layup, and somebody was at the line for the Kings, and Saunders decided to take out Towns. He took out Wiggins. I think he took out Napier. And it's easy to point fingers. I think Jim Peterson on the Wolves broadcast on Fox Sports North said something about taking starters out too early, of course, after the comeback happened. And hindsight's 20/20. You know, obviously, that's an easy thing to say. But Saunders said as much after the game. He had a quote. I'll pull it up here, what he said related to, I'm sure he was asked the question by a reporter. And Saunders' quote was, "No matter what, we should be able to play with a 15-point lead with a couple of minutes left. They made shots. We didn't execute our defensive game plan. We didn't get rebounds when we needed to. We didn't make the needed plays." He's 100% right. I'm not blaming this loss necessarily on Saunders. I mean, obviously there's some coaching things that could have gone a little differently, but subbing starters out up 14 with 1:46 left, that's exactly the sort of situation that you should be able to take your starters out. Towns clearly was favoring his wrist that he hurt the other night. You know, guys are a little bit banged up. The counterpoint is the Wolves have 4 days off now and they don't play again until Saturday. So just make sure you get the win. But the win probability, if you look at the win probability chart, ESPN has one on their site. It was over 99% for most of the fourth quarter. It got up to 99.9% a couple of times. It was still hovering. Even after the Kings would score, it was in the 99.4, 99.8 range. There's no reason the Wolves should lose this game. The first time in 8,379 situations that a team has won a game down 17 or more with 3 minutes left. It really shouldn't matter who's on the court. When you're up 4-2 with 1:46 left in a game, you could take a random grouping of Division II basketball players or podcast hosts for that matter and be able to squeak out a win. The rebounding, the defense, the offensive execution, it all went completely out the window in the last really 3 minutes or so of the game. When, if you go back and look at those minutes, or that, I guess, about a minute when Naz Reid came into the game and the Wolves, you know, were starting to sub guys out, McLaughlin misses or got a layup blocked. Kings score. Next time down, Naz Reid actually had an open layup at the rim and it rimmed off. I mean, if that goes in, the Wolves win this game. as crazy as that seems. Obviously, you have to credit Buddy Hield. He dropped 42 points. Hield was, quite frankly, he was piping hot at the end of the game. He was making threes, got fouled on a three. KBD actually fouled Hield, and Hield made all three free throws there in that final about minute and a half. And then De'Aaron Fox, we'll talk more about here in a minute when we do more of a full recap of the game. But he had a really savvy big play at the end of regulation. Obviously, the comeback doesn't happen without strong play from the Kings, but all things considered, this was simply a massive failure on the Wolves' part. I mean, both sides have to play a part in a comeback like this. And it's an indictment on really, it's really the issues of this entire losing streak in a nutshell. The Wolves were not able to finish games. This is now a 10-game losing streak. The Timberwolves have been in every single game in the fourth quarter except for one, the first game against the Rockets. And there were a couple games where teams pulled away pretty early in the fourth quarter. But if you're in a game for the first three quarters, you got to be able to win a couple of them. And most of them were against playoff teams. So, and Peterson said this on the Fox Sports North broadcast as well, that the Wolves have been playing well as far as the team, as well as a team that's lost 10 in a row can be playing. They've been playing okay, but just haven't been able to pull games out. And this was that issue on steroids. Up 17 with under 2 minutes to play, or under 3 minutes to play, up 14 with under 2 minutes to play. That is just taking that issue of finishing games and blowing it up completely to a level that hasn't been seen in the past 23 years, or maybe ever. We don't know the data that goes back any further, but I think you'd be hard pressed to find any team that's collapsed like the Wolves have in this particular game. All right, next up, we're going to do a little bit more recap of the game. We will get into studs and duds later. I just don't really know how to handle recapping a game like this without just repeating myself about how difficult those last couple of minutes were. But we'll take a look at how it unfolded, how it really unraveled ultimately, and then we will do studs and duds from this game as well. The Wolves came out of the gate hot against the Kings. They were up 13 points at the end of the first quarter. It was really the end of the first quarter. There was just a flurry of three-pointers. Minnesota actually set the franchise record for most threes in a quarter. They had 8 made threes in the first quarter, 14 in the first half. They made like 10 of their first 15 or something. So the 8 threes in the first quarter and the 14 in the first half were both franchise records for a quarter and a half respectively. And just, they were hot. They made 10 of their first 15. Andrew Wiggins made his first 6 three-point attempts, made a career-high 7 on the night. Robert Covington got really hot in the middle of the game. Towns had, 13 in the first quarter and I guess comparatively cooled down a little over the course of the game, but was still very good. He did most of his damage early in the game, had a lot of turnovers, had issues traveling. He had traveled like 3 times, 2 consecutive possessions almost in the second half at one point. But in terms of the start of the game, the Wolves were up 13 at the end of the first quarter. They had a strong second quarter. They were up 18 at halftime. The offense was clicking. The defense was really good, actually. The defense was scrambling to get into position, was covering each other in help defense, was doing a pretty good job rebounding. Ironically, I made a note. This is now skipping to late in the game, but I made a note as the Kings were kind of chipping away in the final few minutes of the fourth quarter that the Wolves were rebounding the ball really well there for a minute plus, and I was thinking that rebounding was going to be the reason that they held on because they were grabbing tough defensive rebounds, were keeping the ball alive on the offensive glass, and getting fouled, getting to the free throw line. But then ultimately, Buddy Hield's hot shooting, the Wolves' lack of execution on those second chance opportunities on offense, and then also some missed free throws were all issues. But going back just a little bit, the Wolves were up 19 headed to the fourth quarter. So they won the first three quarters, up 13 after one, 18 at halftime, 19 headed to the fourth quarter. It was late in the third that the Wolves were actually up 27. And Sacramento made a late push, made a buzzer beater actually at the end of the third quarter as well, that cut the lead from 22 to 19. And it wasn't a great sign, but Minnesota still started the fourth quarter solidly. The Wolves, Towns was on the bench at the end of the third quarter. Ryan Saunders smartly put Towns, Wiggins in the game to start the final frame on the floor with the idea of putting the Kings away, get up 25, get them some rest. But the Kings hung around. Towns never got to head to the bench. He played the entire fourth quarter until that minute 46 mark when they were up 14, and Saunders chose to rest the starters at that point. So it's easy to blame the guys who came on the floor and gave up, you know, roughly 10 points of a lead in a minute, and they should be blamed, you know, the Naz Reeds and Jordan McLaughlin and those guys. But the starters had an opportunity to put the Kings away early in the fourth quarter and get the rest of the game off and couldn't do it. And still, up 17 with 2:49 left, up 14 with 1:46 left. Those are just haunting numbers, and those timestamps are going to stick with me, I think, and stick with many Timberwolves fans. The collapse in the fourth quarter was, it was weird. In real time, it felt, you know, Dave Benz on the Timberwolves Fox Sports North broadcast kept warning fans that the Kings were hanging around, but it didn't really feel like the Kings were hanging around. And when those guys headed to the bench, I guess we can rewind a little bit to the under 3 minutes, and the Wolves were still up 17 with 2:49 left. Fox gets an easy layup. Okogie misses a shot. Hield makes a three. KBD makes that layup and puts the Wolves up 14 with 1:46 left. So the Kings only gained 3 points over the course of that minute. De'Aaron Fox at the free throw line. Wolves take out Wiggins, Towns, Napier, put in Naz Reid, Keelan Martin, Jordan McLaughlin. So now they're up 13 with 1:39 left. De'Aaron Fox makes two free throws, so now they're up 12. McLaughlin gets blocked at the rim. Hield makes a three. That makes this a 9-point game with 1:05 left. Then the missed layup by Naz Reid that I mentioned, that came with 47 seconds left. Wolves up 9. Then Harrison Barnes gets fouled on the other end. He makes both free throws. So now it's a 7-point game with 41 seconds left. And the Kings foul, and Josh Okogie makes both free throws. So now it's still a 9-point game with 39.2 left. The Kings take another timeout. Now they're out of timeout. Or I'm sorry, they would still have one timeout left at that point. Down 9 with 39 seconds left. Kade Bates-Diop fouls Buddy Hield out of the timeout on a 3-point attempt. He makes all three free throws. The Wolves put Napier, Wiggins, and Towns back in the game. So now it's a 6-point game with 37 seconds left. The Kings intentionally foul Shabazz Napier. He misses both free throws. He makes one of those. The Wolves almost surely win this game. He misses both. So now it's 6 points with 35 seconds left. Hield makes another three. The Wolves call a timeout. Up three. If they score, they win. Wiggins misses a tough mid-range shot. Kings get the rebound, come down the floor, and to avoid Buddy Hield taking a game-tying shot, the Wolves foul De'Aaron Fox. Not a bad move. Probably what I would have done. Fox makes the first free throw. The Wolves put in Gorgui Dieng and Noah Vonleh to rebound. So now they've got Gorgui, Noah Vonleh, and Karl-Anthony Towns lining the paint to get the rebound. De'Aaron Fox intentionally misses the second free throw, throws it off the front of the rim, bounces right back to him. He makes the layup, ties the game. When I saw it in real time, I thought his foot landed. So when you're shooting a free throw, obviously you can't step over the line. As long as your foot doesn't hit the floor, it's a legal free throw. It was really close, but Fox's foot does not hit the floor until after the ball hits the rim. He grabs it. He lays it up. Just a genius play. Something I've never seen actually work before. Of course, you have to hit the rim. You can't intentionally miss and only hit the backboard. And, you know, we saw Karl-Anthony Towns try and miss a free throw in a different situation when the Wolves were winning earlier in the season and he accidentally made it. It's tough to do what Fox did when you're and he didn't take his time, do his natural free throw motion. So none of the guys were ready to rebound anyways. But even if they had been, that's a tough ball to rebound. It fired right back at Fox. He caught it, made the shot. Still, 3.6 seconds left. The Wolves take a timeout. They have the ball and a chance to win. They didn't really, I don't really know what happened in terms of the inbounds play. I'd have to watch it back to see what the play actually was. Towns ended up getting the ball in a really tough position with, I didn't get a shot off until under a second left from a contested kind of mid-range fadeaway shot and missed. And that was it. That sent it to overtime. Overtime started off okay. The Wolves took a lead and took an early lead and then hit a couple of threes later in the frame. We're actually ahead. The Wolves were ahead. Let's see. They were tied with 1:50 left. They were ahead briefly with just over 2 minutes left. The Kings tied the game with 1:50. And then the Wolves tied the game again at the 101 mark with 1 minute left. Then Nemanja Bjelica, old friend Nemanja Bjelica, made two free throws. Wolves were down two. Josh Okogie misses a layup, gets his own rebound, gets fouled, misses both free throws, gets his own rebound again and misses another layup. So on one possession, Josh Okogie gets two great offensive rebounds, misses two layups and two free throws all in one possession. The Kings get a contested rebound, call a timeout near the sideline, kind of had possession, a little questionable, but they got the timeout. On the other end, the Wolves fouled. The Kings missed one free throw, made one. So now the Wolves are still down three with a chance to tie. And Wiggins shot and missed from beyond the arc. And that was basically it. The Kings made one more free throw and won the game by four. So the Wolves played okay in the overtime. It's not like the OKC Thunder game earlier this year when they were just completely blown out after giving up that late lead. This was a collapse of an entirely different, different type of collapse. And while the Wolves remained competitive in overtime, this is a game that never should have gotten to that point, quite clearly. All right, next up, we are going to talk about studs and duds from this game and do our best to kind of, I guess, blame this loss on a couple of people individually and also give some praise to some guys who are also a part of the collapse. But before we get into that, I did want to talk a little bit about local advertising here with Locked On. If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Wolves is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Minnesota Timberwolves fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. And not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Timberwolves fans in a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On pod advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. Okay, we're going to talk studs and duds from the game. Real quickly, before we do that, I did want to remind everybody about the awesome national pods here at the Locked On Network. If you're not familiar, Locked On NBA is daily bite-size looks at yesterday's action and what's upcoming. So every single day during the week, Monday through Friday, just like Locked On Wolves, there's a new episode that looks at the previous day's action and peeks ahead at and previews the evening's games. And then also Hollinger and Duncan once a week. The amazing insight of John Hollinger, former Memphis Grizzlies VP of basketball ops, godfather of analytics at ESPN. That's a once-a-week show that kind of recaps everything that's going on in the league. Takes a global look, of course, coming up to the trade deadline. Hollinger's insight is going to be a lot of fun, so be sure to check that show out as well. All right, quick studs and duds from the game. Obviously, Karl-Anthony Towns, I'm going to give him a stud. I mean, the game started out as though this was going to be a clear stud-like game for him. He actually ended up not being all that efficient, shooting 7 of 18 from the field and had 23 points. Again, failed to get a double-double. I think that's 5 out of 6 games now that he's been back. Actually, 6 out of 7, I think, where he hasn't reached double figures in rebounding. And had 23, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and a block. He also turned the ball over 7 times. At least one of those travels was more than questionable. So it's hard to get too upset about that. And really, with the way that he played at the end of the game, I'm talking through this, questioning giving him the stud award a little bit. He certainly was not the best player on the floor for the Wolves, but he was also one of 3 guys who scored more than 10 points. And so I think by default, if we're going to give out 3 stud awards, he makes it. But there were definitely some moments that more could have been expected of Towns. He clearly is trying to complain less. I'm sure that somebody's talked to him about it, or perhaps he's seen everybody writing about it. But Towns did, even on those travels, he started to complain and then sprinted back. So maybe that's the start of something new for him. But overall, a decent game from Towns. The best player on the floor for the Wolves in this one was actually pretty clearly Andrew Wiggins. He had 36 points on 13 of 21 shooting, 7-11 beyond the arc. He made his first 6 three-point attempts and then just one of his last 5. But overall, 7 for 11, 13 of 21 from the field, only 3 of 6 from the free throw line. He did have 9 rebounds and 8 assists. He was kind of flirting with the triple-double as early as the middle to late stages of the third quarter and didn't really, I mean, as with everybody else on the Wolves, kind of stagnated there in the fourth quarter and then didn't do a whole lot in overtime. Was a +8 on the game in 43 minutes, team high 43 minutes. So all around, just a solid performance from Wiggins. Robert Covington was also really good. He had 24-7 in this game in just 28 minutes, 8 of 12 shooting, 6 of 10 beyond the arc. He had a really hot stretch. I think it was in the second quarter where he hit a couple of threes in a row, tough threes, and just was really active, really solid, good defensively. He ultimately fouled out. I think it was actually the last take foul the Wolves had in the overtime, so it was very late. But was active, was good in this one. Probably the Wolves' second best player on the floor, with the efficient 24 points and 7 rebounds. I mean, in 12 less minutes than Towns, he grabbed only one less rebound. So that tells you, I mean, I guess the Kings' strategy in terms of double-teaming Towns on the offensive end of the floor, we didn't really talk about that earlier, but Towns was double-teamed on the catch almost every time down after the first early stages of the game, and it worked for the Kings. I mean, that's part of the reason Towns had so many turnovers, and that's been the playbook in the past on how to beat Towns, and he's done better lately with passing out of double teams, splitting double teams, but this game he just wasn't on point when it comes to that. Covington was able to grab some of those loose rebounds on the defensive end. All 7 of his rebounds were of the defensive nature, and he was also just in a really good place from catching and shooting in this game. He had a couple of shots in transition as well where he just came down and popped 3-pointers and made them. So solid all-around performance from Wiggins, Covington, and Towns in that order. In terms of duds for this game, I mean, it's kind of splitting hairs because there were like 8 guys who saw the court as part of that collapse at the end of the game. I'm going to just go ahead and give the quote-unquote award of the dud to Josh Okogie. Gets 1, 5 points in 26 minutes, 2 of 7 shooting. I'm sorry, that was Culver's line. Josh Okogie still gets 1, 7 points in 26 minutes, 1 of 7 shooting, 0 of 2 from beyond the arc, 5 of 8 from the free throw line. So he made his first, or 5 of his first 6 free throws, missed the 2 clutch free throws at the end. He had 3 offensive rebounds, 2 of them on that possession. He missed 2 layups on that same possession in overtime as well. He was a minus 17 on the game in 26 minutes, was on the floor for a lot of that collapse in the fourth quarter, obviously. Any other night, you know, 7-4 with 2 assists from Okogie is not all that bad, but shooting 1 of 7 and then 5 of 8 from the line and missing all those clutch free throws and shots, you feel bad for him because he was active and he was playing hard. He had he had a really big defensive rebound there as the Kings were trying to come back late. And then there was another big offensive rebound that he had, but ultimately, you got to make those shots in those opportunities, and he couldn't do it. Kade Bates-Diop is the other one. He was a team worst minus 27, which is just shocking in a game that they only lost by 4, and they were winning for most of the game. KBD was minus 27 in 24 minutes. He had 9 points, 5 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 assists. So otherwise seemed like he was playing well, but he was definitely part of that collapse. He committed that foul on the 3-point attempt by Buddy Hield late in the fourth quarter. That was kind of the last straw to force Ryan Saunders to put starters back in the game. KBD was 1 of 5 from beyond the arc, missed a couple of wide open corner 3-pointers, which he was over 50% on for basically the first 2 months of the season, and has really cooled off from 3 lately. But especially, you know, I don't think anybody expected Bates-Diop to be a sharpshooter from above the break on 3-point attempts, but he should be making open corner 3s. Again, you know, trying to place the blame of a 27-point collapse and 17 points in the last couple minutes collapse on 2 guys is admittedly unfair, but the nature of studs and duds is we pick 3 studs and at least 2 duds in the game. Those are the 2 guys that are going to shoulder some of that blame. Obviously, the group that included Naz Reid and Jordan McLaughlin and Keelan Martin that came on the floor, I think it was those 3 plus Bates-Diop and Okogie, who were on the floor for a minute and gave up 9 or 10 points off the lead there late in the game. They deserve plenty of blame themselves for not playing as hard as they needed to and to really close the game out. But they're hardly the only ones that need blame in this one. As mentioned earlier, the starters should have put this thing away early in the fourth quarter and been able to get some extra rest. And now the Wolves don't play again until Saturday. So we'll have shows every day the rest of the week. We'll find trade chatter to talk about. We'll discuss. Eventually, we'll preview the upcoming weekend of games. The Wolves will be in LA on Saturday to take on the Clippers before going to Sacramento, I think on Monday to take on the Kings. So 4 days off. I'm sure they'll spend a couple days at home, get out to LA a little bit early, but they have 4 days to stew on this loss and hopefully really be motivated to break what has now been a 10-game losing streak, their second worst losing streak of the season. Of course, the 11-game losing streak that ended to the Kings just after Christmas was the other long losing streak. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories, Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.